Whether you're the casual hockey observer or the epitome of a rabid Hawks fan, Blackhawks Live answers all your questions.
You know, they obviously turned up the heat on us, and we just kind of clammed up. I didn't think we were moving our feet.
Joe Brand delivers the news, notes, and everyday gossip from the Madhouse on Madison. Here's Joe Brand.
I believe this is the first time ever that we're leading Blackhawks Live into a pregame show, let alone the final pregame show of the 2023-2024 season. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich. Our engineer is Britt Jackson. As the Blackhawks conclude their regular season tonight in L.A., taking on the Kings and wrap up game number 82. The game is still pretty relevant for the L.A. Kings. They currently sit in the second wild card spot. They need a victory and a Vegas loss to move back into third place in the Pacific Division. But Vegas is in control of their own destiny after taking down the Hawks just two nights ago. We'll get into all of the upcoming game during the pregame show, but I want to use this episode of Blackhawks Live more of like a reflection period on this year, because we'll have one more Monday night. That'll be the final Blackhawks Live of the year, and we'll use that to maybe look more towards next season, but also I'm sure we'll have a bunch of sound from the Blackhawks players on their exit interviews since their season has come to a close. Hawks are coming off a game against the Vegas Golden Knights, which was a pretty good, hard-fought effort, a 3-1 loss to Vegas. They had a chance to tie things up. It was a big save from Logan Thompson, and then the Golden Knights were able to elevate their lead 2-0. Hawks were able to squeeze in one goal, but it was a more competitive game than you may have thought against a Vegas team that, again, was fighting for a couple of very important points, even though a lot of their guys have been sitting and still are sitting until the playoffs begin. But it was good to see that fighting effort from the Hawks in their second-to-last game. And it was good to see the energy continued from Frank Nazar. Before we get into more of Frank Nazar, because I really want to get to a lot of them, I know during the tease I brought up the Utah hockey team that will be representing in the NHL next year. If you had the opportunity to name the Utah hockey team, what would you name it? The Utah Osmonds, 773 area code chimes in. From the 815 area code, the Salt Lake Later Day Skates. That's a little bit of a tongue twister. And again, it's official that it will be a Utah team. It's not going to be named the Salt Lake City anything, even though I'm almost positive they'll be located in Salt Lake City. Our own David Jennings on the news side walked in and said, the Rub Salt in the Wounds, the Utah Rub Salt in the Wounds, which another one of a tongue twister. But, you know, it is a sad moment, and it's a sad situation in Arizona. And I do want to get to that in a little bit, because it's an end of an era there. And it was a very sorrowful evening last night at the Mullet Arena in Arizona for the Coyotes' final game. I mean, there is a lot of history there, and there's a lot of hockey fans there. And there's not a ton, but there's a lot. And they no longer get to have their team, and that is pretty sad. But we will have a little bit of fun with the new team that will be located in Utah, and some possible names, some names that have already been floated around. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in with your name suggestion for the new Utah hockey team. But getting back to the Hawks and their current state and their newest guy in Frank Nazar. Two games under his belt. He'll get one more tonight against L.A. And during the postgame show after the game in Vegas, our guy Devin from Palos Hills was curious where Frank Nazar will be next year. And I do think that with what we've seen from him so far, and yes, it is a very small sample size, but he does seem to be pretty much NHL ready. It's not a guarantee that he'll just stick with the Hawks all of next season, but I do think he's already shown us a lot. And I also think that you can expect to see him on the NHL roster at the beginning of next year, and then maybe see how the rest of it all plays out. But I thought in his last game against Vegas, he showed more offensive skills, more offensive drive, and he also did pretty well defensively. Took a pretty hard hit from White Cloud, but seemed to handle it just fine. And it's not just us and the fans and the coaching staff that's been really impressed by Frank Nazar. Some of his teammates have, too. Here's Seth Jones commenting on Frank Nazar's game, just his second game in the NHL after the loss to Vegas the other night.
For sure, for sure. I think he's done a great job. I think you can tell his instincts are there. So he understands the game of hockey. He seems like a smart kid. Just talking to him away from the rink so far these first couple days, and I think he's got a lot of potential to be a great player for us.
And again, it's the fact that Seth Jones is bringing up Frank Nazar's hockey IQ. It's the thing you can't teach. Like that and speed. I mean, he has been one of the faster guys out on the ice in both games that he's played. He's bringing a ton of energy. He's bringing a ton of excitement. And I've mentioned in the past, it's also just the perfect time for him, it seems like. I mean, it was a serious decision to come on up to the Hawks. A big decision by him, a big decision by the Blackhawks. But so far, it does seem to be the right one. And like all these guys, I don't think the timing matters in terms of contract limitations and how it affects contracts and all that, because it is pretty significant that Frank Nazar, Connor Bedard, and Kevin Korchinski will all be coming off their entry-level contracts at the same time. But Ben Pope of the Chicago Sun-Times brought up a good point that that doesn't necessarily mean that Frank Nazar, Connor Bedard, and Kevin Korchinski are all going to be at the same states of their careers at that point. And I use Lucas Reichel looking at him as an example of that. Even though Reichel looked great when he first came up to the NHL, and even though he looked like he gained more steam last season, he had a lot of setbacks this year. And he's still hoping to just finish off this year, again, one game left, but still hoping to end it on the right foot. And it sounds like he's not going to be playing in the World Championships. Listening to the pregame sound we got from LA earlier today, Luke Richardson saying that Lucas Reichel is going to be heading down to Rockford for the playoffs. And honestly, I think that could be a great spot for him. He's probably played his most confident hockey there, and it's a little tough to say because, I mean, only he can answer that question. But it's also difficult to say that's where he's played his best hockey, and I mean in terms of competition, or I should say success at a certain competition level. But he knows he fits in well with that Rockford team. It's a place he's comfortable at, or at least he plays comfortably with. And it did a world of a difference for him this year when he went down there for a good amount of time before coming back up. So maybe that's exactly what he's going to need to finish off this year, to end on that high note, and to head in the offseason with even more confidence and more goodwill for the upcoming year. But back to Frank Nazar, who came to the United Center Sunday night, making his NHL debut just days after his collegiate season came to an end, and scored his first career NHL goal on his first career NHL shot on goal. And it is time to cue the shot, brought to you by Curveball Whiskey.
A one-timer by Drury is stopped by Mrazek, and here come the Hawks the other way. 3-on-2 led by Jones, put it in over the line. Nazar down the slot, shoots, he scores! His first National Hockey League goal on his first shot! Welcome to the Chicago Blackhawks, Frank Nazar. It's 1-0 Hawks! What a shot!
Cue the Shot is brought to you by Curveball, the original barbecue whiskey. Join the Bonehead Nation today at curveballwhiskey.com. That's Curveball with a K, K-U-R-V-B-A-L-L whiskey.com. It has this barbecue twist on whiskey. And we appreciate them helping us out all year on Blackhawks Live. What a fun moment that was at the United Center. If you haven't seen the replay of his family celebrating in the suite, go ahead, check it out. His parents, I think it was his grandmother, just going berserk up there. It's a very cool moment. He seems like a very easy guy to root for. And again, I think Chicago's going to fall in love with him. I think they already have, but they're going to find it another level as he continues. We're getting more Utah hockey team names coming in. 312-981-7200 if you've got a suggestion. Oh boy, here we go. The Utah Fighting Saints, the Salt Lake City Youngs, the Salt Lake City Saltines, the Salt Lake Salties. I won't read the last one, but 312-981-7200, if you've got an idea, we got to get to a break. More of Connor Bedard talk when we come back. Blackhawks Live, 720 WGN. We've got Blackhawks Live before coverage of the Blackhawks taking on the LA Kings out in California tonight, wrapping up the regular season. I'm Joe Brand, our producer is Jack Heinrich, and Brett Jackson is our DJ tonight, picking the bumps and the music that bring us back into Blackhawks Live. If you've got an idea for what the new Utah hockey team should be named, 312-981-7200. We've got Utah Under the Moon, the Utah Moon Glows, the Utah Howlers, the Utah Salted. I'm not crazy about team names that don't end in S, but again, I want to save all this Arizona slash Utah hockey talk for the segment after David Jennings 8:30 news, because I do have some sound that I'd like to play from the broadcast last night in Arizona. Again, it's sad, it's rough, it's disappointing, but it is inevitable, and there is already talk about what the next team in the NHL that'll be located in Utah will be named and look like. Connor Bedard wraps up his first year in the NHL tonight. He'll finish with 68 games. He currently has 61 points. He picked up an assist on the Jason Dickinson goal on Tuesday night in Vegas, the only goal the Hawks scored. But Connor Bedard has lightened up a little bit offensively. 2 points in his last 6 games, only 2 goals in his last 15 games. However, 10 points in his last 15 games. That just goes to show you the type of player he is. It's not all about him scoring goals. It's about him finding ways to put the puck in the back of the net, whether that's him or his teammates. But he was asked about his production possibly being a little bit low lately, and here's what he had to say.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I mean, I think offense has been kind of hard to come by for our whole group. I mean, I don't know how many goals we scored in the last little bit, so that's been frustrating, you know, especially as a guy that wants to produce, and, you know, my job is to produce, so I don't know how many points I have in the last whatever, but maybe not as much as the stretch before, so you know, I obviously take pride in that and creating plays, creating chances. So, yeah, I mean, hopefully we can kind of end it off well tonight.
I'm not there. I couldn't have given Connor Bedard those numbers. I don't think I would have if he would have said that and I was in the same room. But he's clearly a guy that's constantly motivated. And when he sees numbers like that, likes to change those numbers. But you definitely saw an extra resurgence from him once he came back from his injury. So I'm very curious what next year is going to look like. And again, that's a bit of ways, and we'll talk about that more in the next Blackhawks Live. But everything we've seen from him this year, everything he's capable of as an 18-year-old, his first year in the NHL, just kind of whets our appetite, I think. What is he capable of next season? How will he use this year to improve on the things that maybe he didn't feel like went as well as it could have been? And the biggest outlier, or at least in my eyes, possibly, what's it going to be like with him and Taylor Hall on the same line? Because we were supposed to see that a lot this year. It did end up working out with the chemistry he's developed with Philip Kurashev, so maybe that'll be mainly the top line next year. Taylor Hall, Connor Bedard, and Philip Kurashev. Maybe not. I mean, things happen. Chemistry goes in waves sometimes, and production goes in waves. But Connor Bedard is excited to finally get a full year with Taylor Hall next year, knock on wood, if all goes according to plan, because it's kind of given him a little glimpse of what it could look like with what he was able to play with him at the beginning of this past season and with Taylor Hall being around the team lately on this road trip.
Yeah, it's great to have him skate with us and hanging out with us and stuff. And yeah, he's a great player. I mean, he's been a great player in the league for a long time. And when you lose a guy like that, it's big. But I mean, for me, the main thing is, I mean, he's had to miss, you know, the whole year, which sucks. And you know, it's really good to see him, you know, feeling good and skating, and he looks good out there. So you know, of course, we're excited to have him back for next season.
With Connor Murphy coming back recently, we talked a lot about his absence and how that's affected this team, and more specifically affected the younger guys on this team, the younger defensemen. Kevin Korchinski is probably the guy that's most affected by that because he was playing a lot with Connor Murphy, and that's a perfect guy to just learn from and grow from. And I actually talked with Korchinski about this and said he's still one of those guys you can easily go up to no matter what, no matter what his current state is of playing on the ice. But we saw how well Alex Vlasic grew from working with Seth Jones so much. So it is a little disheartening that Kevin Korchinski didn't get that full year with Connor Murphy. But what does Connor Bedard look like if he gets a full year with Taylor Hall? Not quite sure. Not like he was totally missing Taylor Hall a ton either. I mean, he was still getting work done, 61 points in 67 games. But we'll see what happens next year with it. Keep your Utah hockey names coming in, 312-981-7200. We'll get to as many as we can of them next. But first, it's David Jennings with the news in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. A late Blackhawks Live, a late puck drop. Of course we need some levels to bring us up. I'm Joe Brand, this is Blackhawks Live. Our producer is Jack Heinrich, and again, our DJ is Brett Jackson. Keep the Salt Lake or the Utah hockey team names coming, 312-981-7200. Here were a few during the break. The Salt Lake Scorpions, the Utah Buzz, the Salt Lake City Ice Kings, the Utah Salties, the Utah Gliders, and the Utah Utes, or the Utah Yotes, with a little play on the name because of the Coyotes leaving Arizona. Love them. Keep them coming. I do want to point out that this is an NHL team. I do think there is just a little bit more pressure. There's a little bit more significance naming a professional sports team at the highest level, whether it's NFL, NHL, baseball, or basketball. Of course, I'm not too thrilled about the Commanders being an actual name, or the Guardians, for that matter. Cleveland still should be called the Cleveland Spiders in my eyes, but that's a whole other topic. I like the idea of the Utah Buzz, and our texter from New Jersey saying how it's got a nice little play on the Utah Jazz. But again, I'm not crazy about team names that don't end in S. And I know this isn't about me, but I do just, I've got this weird high interest level in sports team names, their logos, their uniforms. I just love that everything goes into it. I love the Milwaukee Brewers logo with the MB on the hat, and it looks like a ball and a glove. And the Arizona Diamondbacks logo, where if you tilt it 90 degrees, it actually looks like a snake's head. Believe me, do it. Take a look at it. My favorite is the Utah Yetis. Although, and I'm going to get to this report that was given out, Greg Ruschinski on Twitter, saying that on Tuesday, applications were filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for trademarks on the following names: the Utah Blizzard, the Utah Venom, the Utah Fury, the Utah HC, and the Utah Hockey Club, which HC is just an acronym for hockey club. I would hate to see them go the route of the Washington Football Team, the Washington Football Club, one of the two that Washington went with when they changed their name. It just screams temporary to me. If I had to choose from that list, I think I'd go with the Utah Blizzard. It is kind of similar to the Colorado Avalanche, but so are the Utah Yetis. I like the word alliteration with Utah Yetis. Again, that's my preference. That's not on this list. And one other texter asking, why aren't they bringing a team to Quebec? Again, this is kind of a very unique situation. There was just a whole bunch of fallout with the Arizona Coyotes organization and the NHL trying to figure out the details of an arena, trying to figure out how to work with the owner, and it seems like the owner might be the most at fault here. And because of that, the organization is heading on up to Utah. Before we get into a real good clip from one of the Arizona Coyotes broadcasters and what they had to say towards the end of the broadcast last night, the final one in franchise history, quickly go to the phone line. It's Dean that wants to chime in with a name suggestion. Go ahead, Dean. You're on WGN Radio.
Yeah, I think they ought to be called the Utah Utes, spelled Y-O-U-T-H-S. A good old Joe Pesci movie.
All right, Dean. Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I agree. I like it because it does a couple of things. It's got the word alliteration. It's got a little significance. And it's a little tip of the cap, tap of the stick to the Arizona Coyotes. It kind of takes it and evolves the name, evolves the team, rather than just changing it completely. But the Arizona Coyotes, I don't want to say they're extinct, but they're no longer in the NHL, for at least right now. And it was a significant, sad day at Mullet Arena last night, even though the existence of that arena was kind of just put together on the fly. But Todd Walsh of the Arizona Coyotes television broadcast team has been with the team for quite some time. This clip's a little bit lengthy, but I think it comes from a lot of heart and a lot of significance from Todd Walsh's life and career, and it just goes to show you that it's not just about sports when these things happen. It's not just about cheering at the TV for the outcome of a game. There's so much more to it, and Todd Walsh tells a very, very deep, heartening story about how the Arizona Coyotes have affected his life.
But I do want to say this. I've been thinking about what I'm about to say for a long time. I never dreamt that I'd be saying it under these circumstances, however, although I feared it. And this will be said in lieu of an ode to the Coyotes that we have done so many times over the years. I'm going to simplify things, and in a moment, we're just going to get to a chalkboard, an old-school chalkboard. But first, I want to tell you a short story. In the summer of 1996, I was working at a rock station here in town, 93.3 KDKB, on the Rock and Roll Ride Home. Essentially, I got to listen to rock and roll, interview rock stars, and go to rock concerts and get paid for that and do a couple of sportscasts. But I always felt like, and I think I knew, that I had something more to give. And that summer, my life changed forever because my general manager walked into the production room where I was editing something with a grease pencil, a razor blade, and some tape. His name is Chuck Artigue. He was the general manager. He has long since passed. But he walked in and said, "You're not going to believe this. We just cut a deal. You know that hockey team that's coming from Winnipeg? They want to do something totally different. They want to change the whole paradigm of broadcasting. There's a new television network coming to town. That was Fox Sports Arizona. And he wanted to put his hockey games on a rock station on FM. And I said to Chuck, "That's great for us." And then he said, "Hey, and we have that AM signal, 1060 KUKQ. We can do the pre- and post-game shows." And I said, "That's great for us." And then he said, "And we want you to be a part of it." And I looked at him and I said, "Are you asking me or are you telling me?" And then I paused and said, "But if we're going to do this, we got to do this right. First of all, I don't want to be stuck in a studio tossing it to the guys at the rink for the rest of my life or taking phone calls late into the night. I'd already done that. But I said, we have to be committed. These will be hockey pioneers. We got to tell their story. We got to be embedded with them. We got to go out on the road, be on the charter flight, the team bus, and the team hotels." And they bit. On December 14th, I stood in front of Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto in 1996. The Coyotes won 5-2. Keith Tkachuk scored two goals. Jeremy Roenick had one. They had 58 penalty minutes, and I've been on the road covering this team ever since. And I will say this, it's not about goals and moments and memories that are about what I saw. What I have learned along the way in the last three decades, that hockey is about people. And they are amongst the best people in the world. Personally speaking, in 2000, when my father died, I couldn't afford a trip to New York the next morning after he passed on a Sunday, but it was my broadcast partner, Tom Curvers, who showed up at the airport and handed me 50,000 flight miles and said, "Go home." 15 years later, when my mom died in Rochester, New York, I went back to collect all of her belongings, and I got a text. I was all alone in that house. You can imagine that feeling. You may have lived it. Teppo Newman texted me. He was a member of the Buffalo Sabres, and he said, "I just got on the New York State Thruway. we're having breakfast in Rochester. I don't want you to be alone. That's what hockey is all about. And hockey gave me a personal and professional purpose, and I don't know how to thank it, so I'm going to thank it right now. I wrote once that a good story lasts forever. However, sometimes the ending just isn't what you want it to be. It is up to us to figure out the joy of the story, no matter how it ended. That's why we want to read and feel more of them. That's why people continue to write. What I said earlier, I'll always remember, if you're good to the game will be good to you. So in closing, I'm going to go back to a story that I love to tell. It's about the Hall of Fame coach, the late, great Fred Shero, back in the mid-70s, the head coach of the Broad Street Bullies, the Philadelphia Flyers. He walked into the room before the Stanley Cup clinching game, and he walked up on a chalkboard, and he wrote this. It's my favorite quote in all of hockey. Win today, and we walk together forever. Think about that. Win today, and we walk together forever. Well, the Coyotes, as you know, they never won a cup, but we went through a whole heck of a lot together. So I'd like to amend that chalkboard with a virtual chalkboard circa 2024, as I got a couple of guys to moonlight, Tom Elsner and Josh Kelman, who put this together. And this is my message to you, Coyote fans, who have been there since day one. And it's simply this. I hope you'll enjoy this particular last ode to the Coyotes from my own chalkboard. Because we walk together forever as Coyote fans. And that's the story, really. That's my chalkboard. Had the best seat in the house. We all did here on this crew. We enjoyed the ride, and we hoped you did too. And I'm going to quote a song from a band, The Association. The song is Everything That Touches You. And they sang, Our love is real, and we show the feel. And we have done that for 28 years. So Godspeed to all that were involved and who invested in Arizona Coyotes hockey.
That's Todd Walsh of the Arizona Coyotes television broadcast team. And not quite sure what's next for him, what's next for any of the Arizona Coyotes broadcasters. Some of the front office, people that work there do tickets, marketing, in-arena operations. It affects a lot more than just a fan base, but the fan base obviously affected pretty harshly, too. I'll never forget the 2012 playoff series between the Hawks and the Coyotes, 2 years after the Hawks had finally ended their Stanley Cup drought, get bounced in the first round for the second consecutive year. But what a series that was. I think 5 of the 6 games went to overtime. Ironically, not the last one in Game 6. There was the heated hit of Rafi Torres on Marian Hossa. I'm sure a lot of Blackhawks fans still aren't happy about that. But the Arizona Coyotes aren't necessarily extinct. The whole move of them going up to Utah, the NHL has constantly brought up the idea of them coming back. And if the owner, Alex Marullo, can construct a new state-of-the-art facility appropriate for an NHL team within 5 years, we could see hockey back in Arizona. But because of the difficulty of seeing that come to fruition in recent years, I understand the hesitancy to seeing it happen in the next 5 years. Maybe an expansion, maybe not. But a lot of people affected by that move, and we definitely think about them. One more break, and then we've got Jack's last thoughts. Man, I feel like I'm still at Stadium Swim in Las Vegas. But no, back here in Chicago, which is a good thing. Hawks final game against the LA Kings coming on up, but we're wrapping up Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. I'm Joe Brand. Our producer is Jack Heinrich, and this is Jack's last thoughts. Real quick, Jack, do you have an idea for a Utah hockey team name?
I hadn't really thought of it, but we just had a caller call in, and she had a couple good ones. She said that she thinks Utah's the beehive state, so she said the bees or the hive. I kind of like the hive.
I was getting those, yeah.
And then, or the stingers, but I like the hive. Something different. I know it doesn't have an S at the end. But.
Again, that's not a rule. That's just a preference of mine. I out of those bee-related names, I like the buzz.
I like that, too.
Because, again, it kind of relates to the Jazz. Okay, what do you got for us, Jack?
So sticking with the theme, I saw the Utah team already. It's getting a lot of ticket sales. This is from Chris Johnston. says the season ticket drive for Utah's new NHL teams up to 11,000 deposits per the new owner.
Wow.
This was an hour and a half ago. I saw they already had 6,000 earlier today. So I guess it's just big demand out there because they only have the Jazz out there. And so I guess another team coming in, moving up the demand for another team. So I guess that's a good spot. It's a kind of a sad situation, but it seems like Utah's ready for a hockey team.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime there's going to be an it's not technically an expansion, but a new professional team that comes in, it's going to generate a lot of following. I mean, look at the Vegas Golden Knights. Look at the Seattle Kraken. I mean, that area knows sports, knows hockey, but to actually get an NHL team, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of buzz right away.
Yeah. then some stats here. Nikita Kucherov reached 100 assists yesterday. So he joined Connor McDavid, who did that this year. And then I think we talked about this. Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr were the only others to do it. And Gretzky did it 11 times. Everybody else just once.
Yeah. The last time we talked about it, though, we didn't talk about Kucherov being close to that, too.
Mm-hmm. He got it yesterday.
So, I mean, that's got to be the first time two players have done it then, right? In the same year?
Oh, yeah, I think so. But, yeah, that's just crazy, 100 assists in a season. And then another one, Austin Matthews had a hot end to the year but just fell short of 70 goals. He had 69. But not without trying, 12 shots on goal yesterday, just couldn't get one through for Toronto, who starts the playoffs. But he was close. He seemed like he was going to get it. But
well, that's funny. That's like when Nashville was in town taking on the Hawks, and all they wanted to get was Philip Forsberg to set the new franchise record for goals. And they were like, that's our goal. And he ended up getting the first one. He ended up getting two. Did he get a hat trick that game?
I think he only got two.
Yeah, he got
two. He was close.
That's right.
I think there might have been like a controversial, or like he just missed the open net. But yeah, those are some crazy stats. Last one I got that caught my eye was the Islanders. This is from Rob Tobe, I think is how you say it on Twitter. And it's just really weird how they made the playoffs with these stats. It says they had 28 wins in regulation, 16 overtime or shootout losses, 23 blown leads in the third period, the worst penalty kill in the NHL. They allowed 105 goals in the second period, minus 15 goal differential in two separate six-game winning or losing streaks, and they fired their coach. But they made it in the playoffs, and I guess that's all that matters.
They don't ask how.
Exactly. But they figured out a way to sneak into the playoffs, and I just thought that was wild.
Well, no, yeah, that's a good point. You're not wrong. And, I mean, even the fact that Detroit, Pittsburgh, Philly, none of those teams are going to the playoffs, despite some really impressive numbers, and Washington and the Islanders are.
Yeah, found a way.
All right, good stuff, Jack. Thank you.
No problem.
Some final Utah hockey names coming in. The Utah Sundancers, because of the Sundance Film Festival. That one's a little tough to convince on me, but we'll just have to keep an eye out for what the new Utah hockey team will be named. That's going to do it for Blackhawks Live, but don't fear. Our Blackhawks pregame show is coming up next as the Hawks conclude the regular season here on 720 WGN.